Back to Luke.
Finally, back to Luke. Luke 12, verse 15. Well, 7, 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who make me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And we talked a great deal about abundance. Now we're going to talk about the things that he possessed. The word possesseth. It's a weird word. It's hyparkanta. And it means your goods, your wealth, your property. But it also means your opinions, your ideas, your religion. It means everything. What high makes horse. You you, huh?
Your high horse.
Yeah. So let's start with, let's see. Remember I told you that from this point on, it's the way is getting narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower in Luke. So let's go to Matthew 19. We'll get to Luke in a minute. Verse 16. We did this before, I think, but we're going to read it again because it was a long time ago. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, Which? And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth. Up, what lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come, follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. So that's well, anyway, let's go on. Let's go to Luke 14 now. Verse 33, let's just look at one word, one verse, because we're going to be studying this intently later. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. I mean, those are incredibly sobering words.
Yeah.
Forsake all that he hath. Cannot be my disciple. Anybody have any response to that?
It's interesting because on the front side of it, it's, oh my God, who can do that? Why would you want to? And that's too much. And yet, by doing it, everything. You don't know that before it happens. But on the other side,
means he's making very clear there's no we here. It's only him. That's hard to accept sometimes.
Well, it's impossible for your mind to accept unless you've seen the futility of everything. And again, we have this capacity. We can see it by our own experience, or we can empathize with someone else's experience. There's an article in D Magazine I read this weekend that it's an old issue of D, but it's talking to an individual who was invited to go to the White House to receive some reward. And he didn't go. And the reporter asked him why. And he said, he didn't say these exact words, but essentially it was been there, done that. If you haven't been there, done that, then that kind of an honor would be just nigh unto impossible to refuse. But just think about that in relationship to, well, here's what I think about that. Well, I've been there, done that. What I think is always proved to be stupid. Because it doesn't pass the test of truth. Again, the only thing worth for you to give any importance to is what the word, you remember, love, the verb form of the love of agape is agapeo. Agapeo means simply to give breath to give importance to. And that's why if any man loved the world or the things that are in the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
Which is why it's important for each of us to share our experiences, because
amen.
We, as a body, I mean, who of us can experience everything like that and say, and turn it down and say, I've been there, done that? We can't. But collectively, we can.
Well, but you have to be able, you have to have integrity about it, and you have to have honest, and you have to be willing to say if you can't. And if you can't, on any of these things, if you can't, if you don't feel that you can do it for whatever reason, then you've got to give that back to him. Say, Father, your word says this. I don't think I can do it. I need your help. But never justify. Now keep this thing by forsaking all that he hath, and let's go to Acts chapter something or other, chapter 4. How this was handled in the first century church. Start in verse 31. Peter and John had just been imprisoned. They were threatened. And then they finally were released. And all of the believers were united in prayer for Peter and John. And then, they got out of prison. I won't go into all that. And verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the any of the things which he possessed was his own, but had all things common. And with great power And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Now, this is what the... Remember we talked much in the early years about the vow of poverty. It has nothing to do with money in terms of... It has to do with... Well, it has. It does have. But it's remember, it's whatever I have that you need to use, you can use. Whatever I have that you need to have, I'll give it to you. And whatever you need that I don't have, I'll help you get it. And that created, in the early years of here at least, that created this willingness to share and meet need and take the homeless in and all the other things that we did over the years. But now we've got compassion fatigue, I think. We're quick to make judgments about people and whether or not... I mean, we took in the worst people. I mean, look at us. We took in ourselves. But I think we need a kick in the butt. I've got to confess this right now. All my socks except two pair have holes in them. My underwear is just about shot. I don't have enough money to buy anything. Now, I'm ashamed to say that. But that's part of who we are. I mean, can you imagine? Well, anyway, and I'm not asking any. Believe me, this. I'm not asking you to give me anything. I'm saying to you that the confession of need needs to be manifest in the whole church, so that it's not. Well, it's just what you just said. Neither was anyone among them that lacked. No.
You don't want anything. You don't want us to meet your need, you say.
What?
You don't want anybody to meet your need.
No, that's not true. I just feel ashamed to ask.
But you ask, but then you cut it off. I don't want anybody to do anything.
Well, no, I didn't mean to say that that was the purpose of me bringing it up right now. I mean, I've asked you for money before.
Yeah.
Rarely, but I have.
And I'm glad to give.
Yeah, I know.
It's a funny thing.
And I appreciate it. But I'm just saying, I'm not using the fact that about my underwear or socks for any good reason except that it came to mind.
Yeah.
And then I wasn't going to say it, is it? Obviously. Because I'm end up stupid. That's why. But something different has happened from the early years till now, and I think it's compassion fatigue, but maybe not. I don't know what it is. Anyway, let's continue. Anybody have any response to any of that besides what you already said? Oh, I agree. Camping. That's what we were. Ed told one girl he was dating, he was going out with, that she asked him what was Trinity Foundation. He said it was a camping group. Camping is good. All right. Let's go now to. Let's go look at another. another thing about possession. Possessing, possesseth. I can speak. Go to Isaiah 57. I bet over the years we've gone to Isaiah 57 more than any other chapter in the Old Testament. We used to call it the Buckner chapter. This is the one we talked about 100, it seems like, all the time. But anyway, in verse 10, thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet sayest thou not, there is no hope. For thou hast found the life of thine own hand, therefore thou hast not grieved. And of whom hast thou been afraid or feared, that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me, nor laid it to thy heart? Have not I held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not? I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee. Now, the word companies means companions, but it also means possessions. When thou cry, let thy companies or possessions deliver thee. But the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. So what we possess is far greater than any possession. The holy mountain is the new Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Now let's look at one that I have no idea what it means, but maybe we can figure it out. Let's go to Luke 21. I like it when I find something I have no idea what it means. It's hiding some great mystery. But. Verse 19. In your patience possess ye your souls. In your patience, possess your souls. I know what patience means. Patience just means
not wanting to change things.
Waiting expectantly for that which is the mystery of God. I mean, that's really all it is about. But possess your souls. I'm not sure what that means.
I hear it like your soul is a wild ass.
You gotta cage it.
You gotta be patient. You forgive. You endure. You don't faint. And you have patience with your own craziness. And God's time.
You know, I know what it means internally, but I don't know how to express it because that's a really good thing.
Yeah, that can be.
Because it's, I know my, you know, this whole thing about not putting a governor on, I say the damnedest things that I can't even believe I say them. And so, but in patience, I have to possess that, and I can't put a governor on it so I can stop saying stupid things.
Right.
Because once I put a governor, then I could never even speak again. I mean, I couldn't preach, that's for sure. I couldn't teach.
Yeah. Well, it's like after the entire Corinthians 13, it wraps it up, and love is everything. You go to the next one, but I would rather you prophesy. It's like above all things. Let us be hopeful together. If it's good, it's good.
Do better, do evil.
Because I can remember, I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to teach, certainly, but I certainly didn't want to say what was in my mind all the time. I mean, that's just stupid. But I knew, after I knew that Well, it was Jean Watts. I don't know if you remember her, I think. She was my first secretary many years ago.
Yeah, I do remember.
She was an elderly lady, but she was great. She's elderly. She was 57. she was a youngster. But she had been a Mennonite. And she had this, the revelations, really big time. She knew, she saw, she knew the cross. And she came with me after Berean. Well, she was my secretary at Berean, too, because for a short time I was the manager of the whole station. And then Pat Robertson bought it out from under us without us knowing it. But anyway, she came with me when we started Trinity Foundation. But this thing, this, I can't tell you, I remember ever talking about it, about the knowing that I could never again put a governor on myself. Because a governor was everything. I mean, I was a politician before, you know, me. I mean, you, do you have to guard your words? And I know there's a lot of people around here that wished I would guard my words, but I can't. And I beg of you, neither can you. No matter how stupid it sounds, and no matter how much somebody makes fun of you, because they make just as much fun of me.
Sometimes to your face.
Oh, most of the time. All right, but that's good. I'm glad we talked about that.
Yeah.
Let's go now to Proverbs 8.
I didn't write down, when we were in Isaiah 57, can you tell me the verses?
13:1-3. We just went to Proverbs chapter 8. The whole book of Proverbs is a contrast between the bride and the whore. That's what its purpose is. It's the one most people, it's the book that the young children in the Hebrew schools, that's the first book they had to memorize. They memorized Proverbs. And some of them did it before they were around five years old. They memorized the whole book of Proverbs. That's what it says about certain of the rabbis that were. But it confused me because it sounded like instructions for good and how you it was another how-to book until I saw that it was not a how-to, it was a what is. This is the way the whore is and this is the way the bride is. So anyway, the whole chapter 8 is all about the bride. It's an incredible chapter. Well, I'm just going to read for a while and if we don't get to where I'm going, then we'll continue tomorrow. What?
We'll call it what is.
Yeah. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the path. She crieth at the gate, at the gates, at the entry of the city. And this is all talking about wisdom and understanding. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men, of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and you fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that findeth knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. And find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, or hate the evil one. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. I will fill their treasuries. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. I will fill their treasuries. Now the substance there is the whole idea of possessive. Now, what is this talking about? Sounds like it's talking about Christ, or it's coming from the words of Christ. But remember, the bride is one with Christ. And again, it's positional. It's either time and space, crap, eternity, righteousness. Location of sphere.
It's like interesting to compare the treasure.
Yeah, it's not. There's nothing to do with
treasures of the earth.
Yeah, yeah.
And suddenly the treasures of earth are paltry. If you see it, it's like what? Because you can't take them with you.
Yeah, it's like it's just more dust.
Yeah.
When you repent, in sackcloth and ashes are. When it talks about what Job said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. And I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes.
Yeah.
Well, the dust, the dust is the recognition of not just that you're just dust, but that everything you have ever valued is dust. And that's all the snake can eat is dust. That's all your mind can give substance. Now, some is pretty good dust. Some is very good-looking dust.
Well-done dust. Some well-done dust.
Well-done, well-created dust.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll stop there for time. Anybody have any response to any of this? Take it, big guy.